Hey, in the Lord's name, great privilege to be back, and like David said, for those of you that are new, our roots do go quite deep here in the early 90s, and thank you for your faithful support over the years. Frequently we do get here when offerings are taken for the mission workers, and we give our sincere appreciation. It is our bread and butter, our life sustenance. And we know that this congregation has sent out other workers, and we are excited about that as well. Verna and I have had privilege to be working in the last month in among the Cree people in Quebec. That's just north of here, so if you want to come and experience Quebec Cree, we're going back there again in November for 3 weeks, and in February and March for another 3 weeks. We're teaching our discipleship counselor training program to about 10 to 12 Cree leaders, Cree people in Quebec. Going from Ontario to Quebec is quite interesting. It's almost like you've gone to a different country. The Quebec Cree never made treaties like Ontario Aboriginal people did. And they've negotiated with the federal government and the provincial government, and are in better financial and economic state than our Ontario Aboriginal people. When we take Aboriginal people from Ontario to Quebec, they get their eyes opened and they begin to realize just asking for handouts isn't where life is found. Life is found in standing up for what you believe and going after important things in life. And of course, in our case, it's opportunity to encourage their faith as well. This morning, I'd like to talk on a simple subject called the rock. Now, you sang, a little while ago, in the rifted rock, I'm resting. Hopefully your rock will hold you in your journey of life, and that's what we want to take a look at. Someone has said, ask the question, what ails us? What ails the church today? What ails you? What has ailed you the last weeks? What is it that ails you? You would say, well, that's a sad way to start a sermon, asking what ails us. Well, World Magazine, some of you may get copies of this. It's a semi-Christian, partly Christian magazine. Maybe I get on the carpet for that if you're a faithful subscriber to this magazine. They did a questionnaire some time ago and tried to identify the issues that are prevalent in our world today, in our culture today, and they asked questions, what ails us? And they got 300 responders to the question, and 9 categories of concern dominated people's thinking. This is some of the order of what they were hearing. If I can figure out how this thing works and make sure I get it going properly. David, you might have to come and help me here. I need to turn it on. I guess we're finding out what ails this equipment. Huh? Nine things that they got a response from on what ails us. In the context of looking at a rock. And here's number one. What ails us is the secularization of our society. That isn't hard to understand. Led by rejection of a creator God and the dominance of evolutionary thinking. Another thing those 300 responders had to say was in the context of loss of distinction identities of men and women, leading to a loss of understanding of marriage and family. You younger generation have a new challenge to model, not only model, but to exemplify, model godliness in the context of marriage and family, and what it is, what it should be, what it could be. Abortion. You know, they tell us in North America we've killed more people than World War II. The Nazis eliminating Jews or people that were killed in the war. Since abortion has been brought to freedom, free for abortions, these kind of things are going on. Loss of tools to educate and shape the rising generation. Now, if you're an educator here today working in a school or in our Christian schools, you say, thank God for Christian education. But the tools to educate, you know, the modern media has improved. In fact, is improving, and a whole new way of learning, styles of learning have improved in some sense, but there's lack of the loss of the tools, sense of entitlement, there's selfishness and complacency. I had a son of mine some time ago said, Grandpa or Dad, you live life too much as if you were entitled to something. And some of us older folks, and I have to recognize that after 50 years of marriage, our event this afternoon is actually, our anniversary is back in August 20th, 50 years ago. But the son was challenging me as an older person and someone transitioning out of leadership in our mission. Dad, one of the challenges you're dealing with is you think you have an entitlement. A question to us this morning, if you're a senior or an older person, do you treat the younger generation as if they owed you something, entitled to something? So, a sense of entitlement. Number six, loss of defined dominant culture with attendant cultural wars. All over the place, right? Cultural wars going on around us. Now you say, if I was speaking to my Aboriginal friends in Northwestern Ontario, they say, that's a good. You Europeans, English, German, all the European countries, you've overrun, you've culturally overran our country, our land. So there should be a change, a shift. But out of those 300 responders, that's one of the things that came up. There's no dominant culture anymore. It's a melting pot of cultures. And we could take a look at and say, yeah, what about Christianity and its influence? Secularization of our society as we looked at number one. We in North America, we in Canada, the U.S., are going down the same track, very much the same trend that Europe has gone through, where we secularize everything. Loss of specific freedoms. It's interesting that in the context of freedom, we lose our freedoms. Loss of specific freedoms. Some happened after 9/11. Some have been still happening. Loss of honest and civil public discourse. I don't know how many times I've heard about liar, she's a liar, he's a liar, in our public discourse, or you read about them. Loss of honest and civil public discourse. Obsession of sex. Now, that has been going on for a long time, I'm sure, but that's what we live with in our society, in this generation. Now, what we need, a rock, we need someone to stand on that will give us courage to deal with these challenges. We need a rock to stand on. Psalms 11 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We need a rock. We need something secure. Rock refers to a peak or a cliff. We need something secure. We need something strong. We need strength. We need something stable. We need something firm, a refuge, a stronghold, a fortress, a foundation. Foundation that can't be destroyed. Proverbs talks about the righteous has an everlasting foundation. So are you, am I, anchored to the solid rock? Is he the rock of my foundation, the everlasting foundation? One thing we do in missions frequently is bring sledgehammers to what we're hearing and seeing to check the foundation. Sledgehammers theologically, like, is that a theologically correct response to life situations, especially in the context of massive rampant suicide among our younger generation. Where's the anchor? The Ten Commandments came written on a stone, written on a rock. You can take them out of our schools, out of our halls of leadership across the land, but they still remain. The Ark of the Covenant kept the Ten Commandments. Here's a list of some scriptures I'd like to look at as it relates to the rock. And the first one is in Deuteronomy, chapter 32. It is called the Song of Moses. Someday we will sing this song, and we should practice it today, right? At least becoming familiar with the contents of the Song of Moses. We will sing the Song of Moses and the Song of the Lamb, Revelations records for us. I'd like to pull out a couple of things in this psalm, or in Deuteronomy here in the Song of Moses. Follow with me. Song of Moses, Deuteronomy 32. Give ear, O heavens, and let me speak, and let the earth hear the words of my mouth. It sounds like God is speaking, right? Let the earth hear the words of my mouth. Let my teaching drop as rain, and my speech distill as the dew, as the droplets on the fresh grass, and as the showers on the herb. I'm reading from the NASV, so hopefully you're not offended by it, but you can follow it on the screen or in your Bible. Verse 3 and 4, I proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribe greatness to our God, the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of faithfulness and without injustice, righteous and upright is he. In our Sunday school lesson this morning on Habakkuk? He had questions for God about his justice, and God broke through and gave him some themes. We may have questions about how God is handling his justice, but are we anchored on the rock? Over in verse 13, Deuteronomy 32:13, he made him ride on the high places of the earth, and he ate the produce of the field. This is talking about Israel. And he made him suck honey from the rock and oil from flinty rock. Have you been drinking from the fountain? Have you been sucking honey from a rock? Verse 15 talks about Jerusalem grew fat and kicked. You were grown fat, thick and sleek. Then he forsook God who made him and scorned the rock of his salvation. Do you know how to believe in the rock, come to the rock of our salvation, or do you scorn it? Or like verse 18, you neglected the rock who begot you and forgot the God who gave you birth. Moses declaring the truth about my God as an everlasting rock in the middle of earth's challenges. Verse 30, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight unless the rock had sold them and the Lord had given them up? Indeed, their rock is not like our rock. This is talking about the other nations' rocks. Their rock is not like our rock. Verse 37, he will say, where are their gods, the rock in which they sought refuge? Are you seeking refuge from a rock that is less than a rock, less than intended? Go with me to Psalm 62. a Psalm of David. My soul waits in silence for God only, from him is my salvation. Verse 2, Psalm 62:2, he only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, I shall not be greatly shaken. When the world comes crashing in, when my health deteriorates, when my aging body gets weak and frail and all kinds of things happen to it, he is my rock and my salvation. Verse 5, 6, 7, 8. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is with him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. And when you find that phrase in the Psalms, it says stop and meditate on it. Stop and think about this. Verse 10, if riches increase, do not set your heart upon them, but keep your heart set on the rock, the fortress. Taken again, there are some other references. If you're taking notes, you can look at these references later in 2 Samuel. Talks about a fortress. For those of you in Sunday school, as little children and even as big people, Matthew, we won't turn to this one, but Matthew says, build your life on the rock. Jesus built the church on the rock. There's actually some church groups that have called their building the Church of the Rock. Not too far off. Jesus asked Peter, and Peter made a confession, and Jesus said, I will build my church on this confession, a rock. In Romans, we have this. Maybe we need to turn to this one in Romans chapter 9:33. Just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone, a stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. There is themes in the Old Testament and the New Testament about this rock, Jesus, being a stumbling stone to the Jew. And is my question to us this morning is Christianity, is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it offensive to you? Do you find yourself being ashamed to be identified with a local church or be identified with Christianity when you're going to your classes, going to your school? Is he a rock of offense, or are you identifying with the stone the builders rejected? In 1 Corinthians 10, there's another phrase here about the rock and in the context of reflecting over the story of Moses in 1 Corinthians 10, 4. They all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. That rock was Christ. Christ, the mighty rock of spiritual refreshment. Are you coming to Christ for spiritual refreshment, or is Christ becoming so common to you that means very little to you? Christ, the mighty rock of spiritual refreshment. We can be constantly nourished at this rock. And be careful we don't get caught in treating this stone as rejecting the chief cornerstone. My Aboriginal friends, believers, they said, we had a chief a long time ago. He was called the chief cornerstone. And they're referring to Jesus. Chief cornerstone. Became the stone the builders rejected became the chief cornerstone. In Revelation, we have a couple of references here about the rock. In chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders of the rich and the strong and the every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. So are you among those who are planning to hide? Or is this Christianity a rock for you to stand on? And we could look at some more of these scriptures. Rocks and mountains fall on them. This is the day that we should be standing on the rock, according to Psalms 118. This is the day to stand on the rock. Anchor your life on the rock as you contemplate the challenges that we just looked at the beginning in my introduction to this. How would you apply the rock to this challenge? How do we apply the rock? How do we live as a rock generation in the middle of a society that is falling apart? The rock. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? They can turn to the rock. We need Jesus more than ever, the song says. We need the rock to stand on. It's a survival or a thriver of the day. Are you surviving in our day or thriving? Which is where you? We need a solid foundation. We have an everlasting foundation, according to Proverbs. And my question to us as we finish this morning is, when have you found God to be your rock? When have you found God to be your rock? And may I suggest to you that instead of greeting everybody at the end of the service, I found God to be a rock this week because of this. Tell a few stories of where you and when you found God to be a rock in your life. Tragedy strikes, health diminishes. Where has God come through to you as a rock, an everlasting rock, a rock to stand on? When have you found God to be your rock? Let's stand together to pray, shall we? Lord, with all the challenges that are out there, 9 of them from these responders our society has no respect for you or your authority and your purposes on earth. Loss of distinctiveness and identity crisis between male and female. Abortion. Father, our land, our government has approved murder of massives. Lots of tools to educate and shape the rising generation. Lord, help us in our educational system. Help the younger generation to find new ways to learn the truths that transform. Truths that bring life and eternal life. Forgive us for our sense of entitlement, even as elders, our selfishness, our complacency, loss of defined dominant culture. Father, may there be a culture that loves, that bridges. Thank you for opportunities in the middle of chaos. Loss of specific freedoms, loss of honest and civil public discourse seen across our land and across the border. Obsession, Father, with a treasure that you've given us, sexuality, human sexuality. Father, forgive us. Help us to be able to stand on the rock in the middle of these challenges in our day. Bless individuals up and down these aisles to be able to stand on the rock this week, in the coming weeks, in our schools, in our places of employment. And help us to answer that question, where and when have you found God to be your rock? Blessed to that end, and may you dismiss us with your grace and peace, your mercy and your presence to go with us. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us as our rock in these days. And everyone said, Amen.